Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To Kezar, to the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. Time to talk about some first-round targets the 49ers are going to be going after in this draft. And it's going to be an interesting one because 49ers would love to get an offensive tackle in the first round. This is kind of how the draft has been positioned for a couple of years now. The 49ers are looking at this as a very good class of offensive linemen and especially offensive tackles. And there's some top-rated offensive linemen. And coming into this draft season, you would have anticipated the 49ers could potentially get a big-time first-round talent tackle. I know I did. I thought that there was going to be somebody there at 31. The 49ers could take plug and play, right tackle initially, battle with Colt McKivitz, and then go ahead and move over to left tackle once Trent Williams was moving on. But now, that may not be the case. There may not be an offensive lineman of first-round caliber available with the 49ers pick at 31. So then, what do? Do they go wide receiver? Do they go cornerback? Do they go to the tried-and-true method of edge rusher? Do they go defensive tackle? There could be some really good defensive tackles available. Well, that's what we got to get into in this episode. What are the 49ers going to do? Because what if they get to pick 20? And there's no offensive tackles that they see as a first-round talent. Because you're not in a rebuild mode. You are in a reload. You want to make sure you consistently are reloading talent. So when your high-priced free agents retire or move on, you have replacements. But you also have a window. And it's getting smaller with the current crop of players you have on your roster to win a Super Bowl. So the 49ers know they've got to get somebody that can make an impact. And they use a first-round pick on a project offensive lineman. I don't know. And they sit a guy for a full year when they could have gotten somebody in the draft that can help them potentially get over the hump and win a Super Bowl. I think this is one of the most interesting things that the 49ers are going to deal with. Their first time picking in the first round since they traded up and drafted what was thought to be franchise quarterback Trey Lance. That didn't work out. So now here the 49ers are back into the first round, which leaves a lot of possibilities. Will there be an offensive lineman that falls? Potentially. And if so, it might make things very easy. But if all those offensive linemen are gone, it's then time to make a big-time splash and get a player that can help you in a big way. Or the other potential, you start listening to calls for a trade. Maybe Michael Penix Jr. is still available and a team is wanting to sneak back up into the first round, and you're sitting at a position where you could allow that to happen, move back, pick up a little bit more draft capital, and next thing you know, you're getting a couple of players in the top 50 instead of just getting one. 49ers' second pick is going to be pick 63, the bottom end of the second round. So getting an extra pick in the top 50 where there's a lot of really, really talented football players could be exactly what the 49ers are trying to do. So we're going to get into that conversation in this episode, talk about the 49ers options, talk about some of these offensive linemen that are ranked highly, and which ones, if they slipped, would be options for the 49ers at the end of round one. I think this is going to be a fun one. Like always, like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Leave a comment down below and let me know what you think about who the 49ers should take in the first round. Listen to audio platform 49ers Cutback on Believe. Please give it a 5-star rating. I really appreciate it. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. It's down to the last four teams. Bet Online has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long. And now that we're almost down to the finals, we've got a lot more in store. Major League Baseball is here, and NBA, NHL playoffs are around the corner. As always, BetOnline is the number one source for your summer sports wagering. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action, and remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. And I think for the 49ers, the game has to start with the offensive line. There's some really good offensive linemen in this draft, and I've been doing my breakdown on the offensive linemen and getting it set up so I can start talking offensive line and especially first round. A little bit different than the last couple years where there's been no first round talk. We've been starting with picks that we believe were not first rounders, and it made things a little bit more difficult. A couple years ago, 49ers didn't pick until the end of the second round, and it was making things very interesting. So 49ers have some options. Now, there's some really good offensive linemen in this draft, not just at the tackle position. Depending on what your beliefs are, the 49ers might have a need on the interior offensive line as well. Now, the 49ers brass of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan haven't really been willing to draft interior offensive linemen. The normal, true, and tried method that they have went with is drafting offensive tackles and then moving them inside. We've seen this consistently. In fact, the 49ers' lone interior offensive lineman that they drafted was Aaron Banks, and they took him a few years ago, and he has been a mainstay at the offensive guard position. But other than that, it has been tackles. They've moved guys around. Spencer Burford drafted fourth round as a tackle. They moved him inside. Nick Zakel drafted in the sixth round, moved inside as a center slash guard. This has been the way that the 49ers want to go. So how much do the 49ers value an interior offensive lineman in round one? That's where it gets interesting. Did they go with a Powers Johnson, a center that would make everyone very excited in the first round if he fell all the way to 31? Potentially. But do the 49ers want to pay a center first round money? Do they want to pay a guy that much to play center? Now, when you look at how Kyle Shanahan values offensive linemen, left tackle is number one. But we have seen him show a lot of value for a center. I believe center is high on the food chain. So the 49ers would be willing, potentially, to add a center at a nice price. Now, right now, you're paying a lot of money to Trent Williams, so getting a guy on a rookie contract makes a lot of sense. But you would be paying a center a lot of money if you picked him with pick 31. But just the way that Kyle Shanahan has went about getting centers into his offense, starting with Weston Richburg when they signed him to a huge deal in 2018, the 49ers were making a statement about how they felt about the center position within the offense. Then it was Alex Mack a couple years ago. Of course, that only lasted 1 year. But the 49ers might be willing to make a move at center. So we can't rule out interior offensive line in round one when it comes to center. I think we can rule it out if it came to guard. There's a guy like Graham Barton who the 49ers don't believe can play offensive tackle. I think in that case, they would rule him out because they would not want to take him in the first round. So 49ers value would have to be interior offensive lineman at center, yes. Everywhere else, probably not. When it comes to tackle, if you're going to take a guy in the first round, you're looking for a guy that can make an impact right away or at least push Holton McKivitz for that starting job. Not just that, is you want to find a guy that can eventually move to the left side and play in Trent Williams' place, because one of the keys to extending this window the 49ers are going to have is once Trent Williams translates out, is having a cheaper left tackle that's able to be there so you can still pay everyone else. You're paying Brock Purdy a lot of money. You could pay a left tackle a lot less money. You can afford to keep the rest of those weapons around. It's kind of just moving the money around position-wise. So the 49ers know they have to find their left tackle of the future, and there are some guys that would be big-time players. Now, Joe Alt is going to be unattainable for the 49ers. He's going to go in the top 10. He'll probably go close to the top 5, and this is a very, very good prospect. I like him a lot out of Notre Dame. I don't think there's any chance he slips at all. There's nothing to not like about this player. I think he's going to go early on. When you're talking about Fashanu from Penn State, this is a guy that I know that he's highly touted. I don't think this is a top 10 caliber player. In fact, I don't think he's a top 20 player as far as my grading goes. But I know a lot of teams are high on him. He will probably go in the top 20, and he's a very good prospect who you could plug and play at right tackle from day one. So another guy I don't think is going to be within the possibility for the 49ers, because I don't see them trading up in the top 20 unless it's going to be an impact player that could help their football team right now. J.C. Latham, I love this prospect. To me, he's clean. He's smooth. You could plug and play him at right tackle. Now, in all honesty, I do believe Colt McKivitz is going to be tough to unseat in year one, just learning Kyle Shanahan's offense for any rookie. But I think J.C. Latham, one of those guys, is such a clean prospect. He would probably have some of the best possible opportunity to step in day one and compete with Colt McKivitz. Now, he'll have to learn the techniques. He'll have to get with Chris Foerster and really learn what he's supposed to do, some of the second-level blocks, some of the angles, some of the things the 49ers do is different than any other zone scheme. There's going to be a learning curve for a rookie offensive tackle, but I don't think even if the 49ers got a big-time offensive tackle in this draft, we can expect them to start right away. Maybe at some point during the season, that would be a possibility, but I think that in all honesty, you're getting a guy at this point, they might be just the guy for the future. So that's something to remember when we're talking about who you go with at 31 and who you don't. Talese Fuaga from Oregon State, great prospect. I think he's another guy, plug and play right tackle, fantastic. When we're talking about run blocking, I like his attitude, the way he goes about business. So to me, this guy would make a lot of sense. Another guy that could compete with Colt McKivitz. I don't know if he would beat him out, but he's got the size. He's over 6'6", over 330 pounds, and an attitude to go with it. I like his technique. I didn't find a lot of holes in his game so far. Smooth slide, good hands, very good balance. Got a nice lean to him. He doesn't bend at the waist a lot. He's got a lot of hip flexibility, knee flexibility, ankle flexibility, which are huge when pass blocking. So to me, I think that he's a solid prospect. I like him a lot. Troy Fatanu out of Washington is probably one of my favorite guys. Now, this guy in a lot of systems would move inside to offensive guard. I think for the 49ers, they could plug and play him at right tackle, but he has position versatility. 49ers love getting players that have position versatility, because if you could get Fatanu, then maybe you could play him at right tackle or right guard or center. You have a lot of possibilities. You just let him go out there and compete. Now, with all guys, rookie starting center would be very tough. I don't think anyone can unseat Jake Brendel, except maybe Powers Johnson, but we'll see if even he could pick up the offense and the proper lanes and blocking techniques that he would have to have. It's a lot to ask when you have to handle protections. And right now, I don't know where Brock Purdy is about handling protections and helping the center along. So Brendel seems to be the obvious choice there. So I don't think Fatanu would make a lot of sense for the 49ers as far as drafting him to play interior. But if you're drafting him to compete with Colt McKivitz and play right tackle, I like it. He has experience playing on the left side as well. So could be one of those guys that eventually transitions over to left tackle and takes over. But the problem is those guys right there are more than likely going to go in the top 20 picks. Those guys are more than likely going to be off the board. Those are the guys I think can actually compete with Colt McKivitz and have a chance to make an impact on the 2024 49ers. And I know when we're talking about draft, we like to project out into the future. Yes, 25, 26, talked about Brock Purdy's contract didn't make a lot of sense, but you're in a win now time. So now when we're talking about guys that are offensive linemen, you're talking to Marius Mims. He's huge. He's a monster. Probably not helping your team in year one. Graham Barton, I talked, they're not going to take an interior offensive lineman. I don't know if they see him as a guy that can play on the outside. So I think he's a tweener. I like him more as a guard. I think the 49ers would like him as a guard as well. He reminds me of some of the guys that they've went there just at a high, high level. Tyler Guyton. Guyton's a complete project out of Oklahoma, but a absolute athletic freak. Dude's got a lot of raw talent, raw skill. I like this player, but I don't see him as a first-round guy. I think he's got first-round upside. He's a guy that if he figured it out could be a perennial Pro Bowl player. Comes out of Trent Williams' alma mater. Tremendous speed to get to the second level. Athleticism, like all that. Holes in technique, holes in footwork. That's why he's a project. So he might be there at 31. I think there's going to be some teams that might take him in the mid-20s, but he's potentially going to be there at 31. The question is, do you park that pick for 1 year? Do you park that guy and just know that next year he's ready to go at right tackle in place of Colton McKivitz? If that's the type of investment you're looking for, then you could go offensive lineman. I think the same can be said about Jordan Morgan. I don't think that he would beat out Colton McKivitz in year one. Same with Kingsley Salmataya. I don't think that he as well would beat out anyone in year one. I think these guys are developmental type offensive linemen, and they're going to be potentially available at 31. I think Kingsley will be available at 31. I think Jordan Morgan will be available at 31. Question is, do you want to go that route with a guy that's not going to help your
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Team in 2024, and with some of these guys, could they beat out Colton McKivitz in 2025? I think it's interesting. I don't think Colton McKivitz is thought of poorly in the 49ers locker room and organization. So what do the 49ers do if there's none of the offensive linemen available that they feel can help their football team? Well, I think there's a couple of areas you look at on this team and you recognize need. I think first off, tight end too. 49ers took a swing and a miss with a restricted free agent. That didn't work out, but that means they're looking for tight end too. Now, they could go with a veteran on the open market, or Robert Tonyan, somebody like that. They could wait after the draft and see what happens. But there's a couple of draftable players in this draft. I know the 49ers would love to have a tight end, but not at 31. The odds of Brock Bowers falling to 31, highly unlikely. He's the only one I see as a first-round tight end. So 31, even though it's a need, it's not where best player available and need intersect. 49ers will not go that direction. So what other positions? Linebacker, right? Greenlaw might be out. You're not going linebacker in round one. In fact, no linebackers, in my opinion, are probably going to go in round one. And that's the case usually most of the time. It's just one of those positions you can find a lot of depth in rounds two through five and find some really talented players. So we know the 49ers need a cornerback. Right now, they've done a good job in free agency. They think they've set themselves up with Yedem on the outside, potentially Dominic Lenore moving in on nickel situations. So they probably feel pretty comfortable, but upgrading the position is important because you have Dominic Lenore going into a season where he's in a contract year. You've got Charvarius Ward coming up on a contract as well. You've got to make a decision there. You afford to pay both. Well, you still haven't really figured out for sure what you're doing on the outside. Yedem could be that guy, but I think the 49ers have came to the point where they're going to draft one or two corners in every single draft. Because on the back end, so far, Sam Womack was inactive most of the time. Ambry Thomas, I don't know what happened, fell off again after his injury, was not really as willing to make tackles. So 49ers need to make some moves. And cornerback could be a spot where a very good cornerback is available at 31. Well, which guys am I talking about? Well, Terrion Arnold, he's going to be gone. He's probably going to be a top 15 pick. One of my favorite guys out of Alabama. So we won't talk too much about him. Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo is a guy that's got the speed, the athleticism, flexibility. More than likely, top 20 pick. Don't see him falling to the 49ers at 31. I think the 49ers would be really into him if he fell to 31. Now, the next three guys will be available at 31, and they all seem to be first-round talents. From my opinion, I think Nate Wiggins of Clemson is not a first-round guy. I see him as a fringe first-round guy, more of a second-round guy. Wasn't overly impressed with his hips, his flexibility, his ability to go ahead and drive on the football. But he's often thought of by most around the league as a top first-round pick. But I think that, to me, he will be available at 31. I don't think anyone's going to pull the trigger on him earlier. So the 49ers potentially could go with Wiggins. Kool-Aid McKinstry is a guy I do believe is a first-round pick. Watching Kool-Aid, I think he's going to be a big-time player in this league. Now, before everything happened in this offseason with some of the injury concerns and his foot, a lot of people believed he was a top 20 pick. I still think that's the potential that he has. He has the potential to be a lockdown, shutdown corner that you can get. You could get him set up for when you make a decision with Diamond Lenore or Charvarius Ward and what you have to do with those guys. So offensive lineman is not available. Here you go. Maybe a potential cornerback, and Kool-Aid could be available at 31. Now, there's a couple of needy teams, a cornerback right ahead of the 49ers in the draft lineup. Could the 49ers jump up potentially? Well, don't really want to use a lot of your draft capital to move up in the first round. It's better to do it kind of later on. But if Kool-Aid's available at 31, I think the 49ers could pull the trigger. Nice player, 6 foot, 199 pounds, ran a 4.5 40. And he's one of those guys that's got a lot of physicality. He can run press man coverage. He's good in zone. All complete cornerback. Really like this player. Option for the 49ers for sure at pick 31. And then Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. He's 6 foot, 203 pounds. He runs a 4.5. Now, he hasn't been able to perform on the field yet for everyone to be able to see. Can we see who he is? But this is a guy that's got a lot of ability, and he's got position versatility. I think that if you decided you wanted Diamond Lenore to play on the outside, Cooper could step in at nickel corner, and he could start day one. Physicality, the ability to turn his hips and run with receivers will allow him the short area quickness to change direction, drive on footballs. I like this guy at pick 31. If he's there, I think that's a real option for the 49ers because he's a guy that steps in, he solves one of your issues, where best player available meets need. That's the ultimate fit for the 49ers when you're talking about a cornerback. So step in there down the road 3 or 4 years when decisions have to be made on other safeties. Potentially, you could slide him there. But, I mean, this guy's got the potential to start at nickel in year one, and then Charvarius Ward or Diamond Lenore move on in free agency, and you stick him on the outside, and you're set, and you're ready to go. So love that. Love the player, the versatility, some of the return ability. He could help you with special teams. To me, Cooper would be a solid pick for the San Francisco 49ers at 31. Now, there's one more corner that I like that I don't know how many people like him to the level that I do, but he's star player for me. Put up a video about him over on Patreon, and that's Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia. I love the way he covers. To me, this guy's got just smooth, quick hips, able to flip him and run with receivers. He does a good job about keeping his hand on. I wish he would improve his ball skills a little bit, locating the ball with his eyes, but those are things that can be worked on and still be developed. But the natural ability to run with a receiver, to get his hand on low, not a lot of grabbing, not a lot of pulling, I really like him. To me, he's physical enough to play on the outside. This is a guy that's got quick change of direction. People were worried about his speed, and then he went out and he ran a 4.5. So he's 6 foot, 190 pounds. He fits the 49ers mold. Some people aren't high on him. I am. To me, I think this guy is a coverage nightmare. I think he's going to be great. And so I would consider him a first-round talent. A lot of people don't, and that's okay. But I think he could be an option for the 49ers at pick 31. Then we got to talk about some playmakers, right? And first off, I want to talk about some of these wide receivers that could potentially be a target for the 49ers. And The thing is, 49ers don't really have a need at wide receiver. They don't. You've got Brandon Ayuk, and I know the contract thing is going on, but Brandon Ayuk is either going to be extended or he's going to be playing on a fifth-year option. I don't expect them to trade him. They're not going to get enough value. I think the Stephon Diggs trade showed that. 49ers value way beyond what the Texans gave up for Stephon Diggs. So I don't think Ayuk a trade makes a lot of sense for the 49ers right now, especially. So you have Ayuk, you have Debo, you have Juwan at least for one more year. But after them, you have question marks. Danny Gray has been hurt, hasn't really done anything yet to show us who he could be. Got speed. I saw a lot in training camp that I liked, but he hasn't proved it in games. So right now it's still an unknown. You have Ronnie Bell, who started out hot, made a couple of plays, but we know he fell out of favor with the 49ers as they were making him inactive and not playing in games. A lot of that having to do with his blocking and physicality. And then Chris Conley, who came back. They really like Conley. They like the big physical body that can come out there and help them blocking. But if you get to pick 31, there is a chance that the most valuable player on your board is going to be a wide receiver. And this could solve a few problems. Number one, it might make it so you can have more ability to get down the field, which you wanted to do with Danny Gray. That could take some of the pressure off Debo and Brandon Ayuk. And now that you've got a young franchise quarterback, why not get him all the weapons? Also, what it does is leverage-wise, Brandon Ayuk at the end of the year could be a free agent. If that happens, you could go ahead and franchise tag him and then trade him. And if you had a rookie guy who had played an entire year and going into a second season, you would be prepared. But it has to be a guy that you feel can make an impact and help you get over the hump in 24, or this is a pick you don't really need to make. If you don't feel that this guy is going to get on the field and help your football team, we know how Kyle Shanahan is with wide receivers, then you don't do it. But there's some guys that are so intriguing. And, of course, the top guys, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, they're not going to be available. But where it starts getting interesting for the 49ers is when you talk about Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell. Those guys, to me, make a lot of sense for the 49ers because at pick 31, it would hold tremendous value. They're both big body receivers, 6'3 and 6'2. Both of them run 4'3 40s, and they're guys that go and make plays. Now, if you watch their film, a lot of their big plays come from verticals. They run a lot of vertical routes. They're stretching the field horizontal or vertically, getting up the seam and making plays. But they're big bodies with pretty good hands, and they have elite speed. 49ers don't have one of those guys. This would basically be taking Danny Gray and Chris Conley, shoving them together and being like, here is a player that can go make plays. So one of these guys are available at pick 31. That's when it gets interesting for the 49ers at wide receiver. I don't think the 49ers are going into this draft targeting wide receiver. I don't think they're like, hey, we have to get one there. Most of the wide receivers they're meeting with are second and third round talent. Potentially, they could go with a Malachi Corley in the second round. If he's available at 63, he might be a top 50 pick. So 49ers need to go ahead and probably address wide receiver at some point in this draft. I don't think they're sold on Gray. I don't think they're sold on Bell. And I think they'd like to upgrade wide receiver 4 because they lost Ray-Ray McCloud. But finding the right player is going to be the hard part. So I do believe that there's an opportunity for the 49ers to go wide receiver at pick 31. Now, I don't believe they would go with a Ladd McConkey. I don't see him as a first-round talent. Xavier Leggett's got the ability to be a big-time star in this league, but I see him ranked in the second round. So there are some guys still that are going to be available in round two the 49ers can target. But if you get to 31, there's no offensive lineman. Cornerback you wanted to get isn't available. Maybe you look at wide receiver. And all the while, we know what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan really want to do. They want to look at defensive line because there are some defensive linemen that they would love to snag in this. And of course, it starts with the edge because you never can have enough edge. You just can't. There are some big-time edge players, and I don't expect the top three to fall down the draft board, but you never know. Get a run on offensive linemen, you get a run on defensive backs, you get a run on some of these big wide receivers because offense is the name of the game in the league right now. And just maybe you get one of these guys that slip. I don't expect it to happen. My favorite defensive end, edge rusher in the entire draft is Jared Verse. Of course, I'm a Florida State fan, so I've watched a lot of Jared Verse, and I know how talented he is, but explosive, quick first step, got the technique, got the skills, can put multiple moves together. He might be coming at you with a bull rush and then hit you with a rip move around the edge. He might be dipping that corner, and then all of a sudden you shift your weight and he spins off back inside. Very talented, very explosive. Telling you right now, Jared Verse, opposite of Nick Bosa for the next several years, would become the premier duo in the entire league. That's how high I am on Jared Verse. Of course, they got Latu as well. He's very, very good player. 6'5", 259 pounds out of UCLA. He ran a 4.6, Verse 4.5. So impressive. And then Dallas Turner. Dallas Turner, another guy that I think is a top 20 prospect in this NFL draft. And any one of those guys slipped to 31, and I don't care if the 49ers really love one of those offensive tackles they think they could develop for the future, it's probably going to be an edge rusher because the 49ers know you never have enough edge. And it hasn't really worked out for some of the guys that they have. Now, they addressed it in free agency. They did a really good job. But they've got to make sure they get an edge player that can make sense. I think Chop Robinson could be a guy the 49ers look at 31. But, you know, would they be willing to do that with a guy that wouldn't start day one? I'm not sure. So to me, Chop probably wouldn't make sense. The only defensive tackle I could see the 49ers potentially having a shot at being available at 31 that they would go with is Byron Murphy from Texas. I don't know if they'll go defensive tackle. I think they addressed that in a big way. So pick 31 is going to be interesting. I think it could be likely the 49ers get a couple of calls about trading out as there probably will be a quarterback or two available and maybe one of those big wide receivers. 49ers might be able to move back, acquire more picks, and get some more players within the top 50. So let me know what you thought about this episode about the San Francisco 49ers potential targets at 31. Are you with me that, hey, if the offensive linemen, offensive tackles aren't there, might have to look for somebody that can make an impact on your team this year? Let me know. Like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for joining this episode brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. I'll catch you guys in the next one. Until then, stay safe. Remember, the right way is always the full.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.